Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
I toasted you, said, honey, we may be through. You'll never hear me complain.
This is a bizarre version of the song that Marco selected. I have no idea what or who this is, but we will progress. Let's hear some...
YouTube says it's Garth Brooks, 50 million views.
Comments from J.J. Piccolo, Royals GM. Let's play number six. J.J. Piccolo was asked what he wants to see from his team this season.
Just improvement. I mean, you always want to look at team improvement, but that really comes through the form of individuals getting better. We're at a stage with a lot of young players that now they're getting in their second and third years. You're going to start to figure out what type of major league player they are. I think they're very in tune with what they need to do. If they do those things individually, the team's going to benefit. So it's just really steady improvement and getting better every day.
Is improvement just strictly results, or are there other processes that you'd like to see?
Well, you do want guys to tighten up processes and get locked into whatever the routines are, but it is. I mean, it's a game of performance, and guys got to perform. It's the major leagues. There's a level of patience we need to show that we will. But when it comes down to it, players need to perform, coaches need to perform, front offices need to perform. So ultimately, you want it to all come together because we'll all benefit at the end.
Let's move on to new Royals manager Matt Quatrero. Number eight, please. He was asked about his young star, Bobby Witt Jr.
He's been far surpassed whatever his maturity on and off the field for a player of his age is pretty much unrivaled from what I've seen, you know. And he still has that innocence of love for the game. You know, the thing that stood out to me was we were on the half field out there the day before games started in spring training, and we were just happened to be there at the same time, and he just looked at me and said, "I am so excited for tomorrow." And that's day one of a spring training game where he's probably going to play four or five innings. But he was serious and he was genuine about it, and that carries over into how he does his work, how he plays the game. And now watching him play, I mean, he came out right out of the gate, hitting the ball hard, working his tail off in the infield. You know, it's just been tremendous.
Let's hear about maybe what he's most anxious about as he makes his regular season debut as Royals manager.
Well, I think that without a doubt, it's how you run the pitching staff. When you get the guys up, you don't want to get them hot too many times. You want to bring them in for the right situations and put them in a position to succeed. So no question, that's the thing that weighs on my mind the most. You know, I haven't done it at this level. But I think through the communication with Brian and Hoove and Vance and with JJ and those guys ahead of time, you know, we're going to have a plan. You know, it's sometimes you have to deviate from it. So it's just a matter of getting it right.
One thing, probably spring training doesn't really allow you to practice a ton. What has been sort of the cycle of trying to do dry runs of that?
Yeah, you don't do it in spring training. You know, everything's scripted. The guys know when they're going to pitch. You know, I've sat there and thought through it as we're going. What would I do here, whatever? But, you know, you're not acting on it, so it's not the same.
All right, one more from Matt Quatrero, Royals manager here. A gentleman by the name of Todd asked Matt Quatrero what he thinks of the new rules we see this year in baseball.
Well, the pace of the game has been tremendously different. You know, I mean, we've had a couple games around 2 hours, a bunch of them in that 210 to 230 range. Even the long ones have been right around 3 hours. So that's a big difference. There's definitely a different feel to as the game's going on. I think, you know, as I've watched the clock, I'm still trying to figure out what I should be watching and where the clocks are and all that kind of stuff. But the I've seen pitchers pitching with still 8, 10, 12 seconds on the clock. I think as things count, you'll see that tick down more and more because they're going to want to catch their breath. They're going to want to think things through a little bit more as the pressure or the importance of the situation comes up. But the other thing that stands out is there are way more ground balls that got through the infield. There's just, you know, they're hitting them where they ain't, right? What they used to say. So those are the two things that really stand out.
Hit them where they ain't, baby. All right.
They ain't going to be on the right side of the infield as much for those left-handed batters, which will help.
Now let's hear from some of the young stars for the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr. was asked what he wants out of this season.
I think it's just keep getting better at everything. I know there's some good things that went on last year, but there's a lot of things that I needed to improve on. And so just working on whether it's defensively, now knowing playing shortstop, just trying to be the best shortstop I can be, try to be the best, I guess, in the league, just whatever, just to help the team as much as possible, help the pitchers out, and then as well as at the plate, just be able to zone in on pitches I want to hit and just be the best Bobby Witt Jr. I could possibly be, do my job to help the team. And I think that's what everyone's going to do in there, just do their job, do their part, and then everything else will kind of play it out, because everyone in there, we got amazing talent, and so that's all we got to really do, and just keep building off each other, keep learning each and every day. You learn through failure, and then you just keep going.
Now let's hear from Vinny Pasquantino. Vinny was asked the same thing, what he's looking for this season.
I think for me, the obvious sort of thing I look at is improve on the record from last year. From a personal level, I'm just excited to make adjustments to the adjustments made on me. That's what I find fun in the game, is the strategy of trying to figure out how people are going to get you out, how you're going to get better at first base. How am I going to be a better base runner? I might not be fast. I think we all know that now. That's probably not going to change. But how can I be the best base runner on the team? He's really fast. He's also a good base runner. But maybe I can get up to that IQ level and see what happens. So for me, just trying to figure out how to just get that 1% better. Not to sound like too much of a cliche, but that's really all it is just trying to figure out what are pitchers trying to do. What am I trying to do offensively, defensively, base running wise, and then just turn it up a notch?
And here's Bobby Witt Jr. and MJ Melendez as they were asked about signing long-term deals in Kansas City and possibly giving up some free agency years.
I love it here. It's been great, but now I just kind of focus on this year, and I think that's what kind of both these guys are too, just really focusing on kind of the year to come, because we want to get a new staff, new changes. We really want to kind of buy in as a team, and just kind of that's been the I guess focus point so far.
Yeah, I think kind of to answer that, I think a lot of us are just, you know, we have so many new things going on this year, and you know, all of our focus is really driven towards, you know, going out and winning, creating a winning culture. That's something that, you know, you guys have seen here in the past, 2014 2015, with young guys, and that's what we're looking to do here this year and, you know, in years to come. So just really focused on winning right now, and I think that's really what all of us want to do.
In other words, no. Nope. No. Mm-mm. You talked to someone else, didn't you, Nate?
I talked to your guy, my guy. Mm-hmm. Your, my guy?
You can be everyone's guy, but it's more your guy.
Yeah. I don't know what to really expect from him, but I have hopes that this new pitching approach that the Royals have with their pitching department is going to really benefit a guy like Chris Bubich.
You said he's the next Larry Gura.
Next Larry Gura.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I liked his changeup and his feel for pitching right off the bat.
You said he's a young Charlie Liebrandt.
He's hit Liebs, man. I like Charlie Liebrandt. That would be something if he could be Charlie Liebrandt.
How about that?
You know? Anyways, I had a chance to talk with him a little bit. He's made the starting rotation to start off the season, and that's kind of where we started the conversation.
Hey, Chris, first of all, just maybe love to get your reaction, just, you know, the thoughts of making the rotation, you know, how you feel about that, what your reaction was when you found out the news.
Oh, it's exciting. Anytime you, you know, get to make an opening day roster, it's obviously a privilege, and it's something you don't take for granted. And I'm just excited for the opportunity, and, you know, I know there was some talk of what role I would take, you know, during the spring, and you know, I'm really open to any role on this team. Obviously, I've done bullpen work, I've done starting work in the past, so but once again, excited to be here and, you know, help this team win.
So I think that for those of us that are here in Kansas City that especially didn't get to be down in Surprise for an extended period of time, I was there for one day, and I saw you guys all working in that back, you know, that back pitching bullpen area. We're all interested in seeing what the new pitching department is going to be like. What could you tell us, maybe that haven't been a part of it, what it's like to be with this new staff and everything in terms of pitching?
To put it bluntly, I'd say just really simple, at least in my eyes. I try to simplify things as much as I can, just to minimize thinking and just worrying about hitters too much. I think going out there and really, you know, just throwing your stuff in the, you know, over the plate. I mean, it sounds really simple and it sounds like it's a very basic approach, but it is.
Yeah.
You know, I think everything in this game comes down to count leverage and, you know, kind of incentivizing, you know, throwing strikes early in counts is how quickly you can get to two strikes. You know, the odds are in your favor. So, you know, the coaching staff's been great so far and really freeing us up and freeing me up especially, and you know, going out there and just being as aggressive as you can.
I think it's interesting to hear you use the word simplify, because maybe when you watch it, it seems like there's a lot going on. You know, they got iPads up there recording you, and they got a million pieces of data that they could show you if you want it. So is it ironic that it's simplifying, considering how much access to information that you have now?
Yes and no. I think to make a good point, but I think, you know,
is that part of the key, is like taking what parts of the information you need to know?
Yeah, 100%. Like, some guys, you know, can take a lot of information in, some guys, you know, don't want any, and you know, both are perfectly okay. There's no one way to do a certain thing. There's no one way to pitch, but I think just embracing the unique qualities that each of us bring as pitchers, you know, is really important. And I think we're just tapping into, you know, what's going to make us successful and what's going to make us, you know, really successful in this game and help this team win.
You're one of a few guys that I feel like I read articles about that added a pitch, or if they didn't add it, they maybe perfected a pitch that they feel more comfortable with. How important is that for you and maybe other guys on the staff coming into this season?
Yeah, of course. I know a lot's been made about the slider, and, you know, it's something I've wanted to tinker with for a while, and I think just being on the same page with the coaching staff, and I think it's just going to elevate the rest of the arsenal. It doesn't even have to be that great and, you know, in isolation, but I think just having that within the arsenal gives the hitters another thing to think about. I've kind of been a change-up guy my whole life, so just not to say to get hitters off of that, but, you know, just to give them a little wrinkle here and there. But I think, yeah, it's exciting to get reps with it and showcase it as much as you can. And like I said, it just kind of rounds out the rest of the arsenal pretty well.
Last question for you, just kind of a fun one. Got any big opening day memories from being a kid or in the past or anything like that? Just like, or maybe just a thought on what opening day means to you as a baseball player, because it's such a special day.
Yeah, more so just a thought, but I think it's almost like a holiday. I think it's such a special day because, you know, it signifies the start of, obviously, you know, spring inning, warmer weather and all that, but just the start of a journey that's pretty exciting. You know, get to be with these guys for, you know, the next 6 or 7 months, pretty much every day. And it's, you couldn't ask for much more doing what you love. And, you know, growing up, going to the park, you know, early in the season, it's always a fresh feeling. It's always a fresh vibe. And, you know, everybody's always pretty excited at the beginning of the year.
You said he reminds you of Glendon Rush. You liken him to Daryl May. He could be a young Jose Rosado. I'm just trying to throw out as many left-handers as I can remember for the Royals.
You're not going to give me a Chris George?
No. Nope.
Remember when Chris George was going to be the next Tom Glavine?
No.
You don't remember that?
No. Do you remember when Jeff Austin reminded people of Greg Maddux?
Yep. I remember when Juan LeBron reminded people of Juan Gonzalez.
Hmm. Seems like you like Bubich.
I like him. I mean, I don't think he's going to be the next ace of the staff or anything, but I think he's got a chance to be a good lefty. He's the only lefty in the five-man rotation, right? So a chance to be a good lefty, back of the rotation. I just think he got lost last year. I think that he obviously was not vibing with Cal Eldred and the pitching staff. And I think he is.
Who was vibing with Galloway?
I don't know.
Of what you know.
I mean, Brady Singer ended up having a good year last year. I don't know if he was vibing with Cal Eldred. But I thought it was interesting that he said the two biggest things is simplifying things and being more laid back. That sounds almost like the opposite of what you thought. Oh, they're going to bring in this pitching department, and they're going to be all over these guys, teaching them all this stuff and throwing all these numbers at them and really overloading them with information. And they brought in this new pitching department, and apparently they're helping simplify things and let the pitchers have some freedom. You know, because that is, you know, one of the things that I remember JJ kind of raised some eyebrows last year when he said something about this, like, this is the big leagues. These guys have to take responsibility for their own careers. They're grown men now. This isn't the developmental league where, hey, the coach, you got to really teach these guys how to play the game. You're in the big leagues. Some of it's going to fall on you. And apparently a lot of the pitchers feel that way. You know, they've got their own, a lot of them have their own pitching coaches and guys and things like that on the side. And I think they feel like they're being more free to use those people instead of, I think the Royals' old philosophy was, we have a way of doing things here, and this is how we want you to do it. And I think that the new philosophy is a little more of, how do you want to do things, and what can we do to help? Which I think is a very different mindset, but that's kind of the modern athlete, you know? These guys have their own strength and conditioning coordinators. They got their own. They go to see Driveline. They go to other places that are outside the organization, and they have ideas on how they want to do things. And I think that this Matt Cotrero, that's a hard one for me.
Go on.
Cotrero's philosophy is, yeah, how do you want to do it? What can we do to help? We got all this information for you here. We could teach you whatever you want, and they're keeping it simple for them. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see how, if and how much of a difference it makes.
Zach Greinke on the mound today for the Kansas City Royals as they take on the Minnesota Twins.
He doesn't really need a pitching coach.
He is a pitching coach, kind of.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
What's your over under? What's the Vegas number? By the way,
I don't know.
What do you say the number is?
Well, they won 65 games last year. I'd say maybe 70.
Royals trade left-handed pitcher Richard Lovelady to Braves for cash considerations. So maybe when you get sent down, don't express frustration on Twitter.
Or you get traded to a World Series contender.
Fine. Or do.
I mean, I think that's good. I like it.
Like, yeah. Why do you like it?
Because I think that is a good... Hey, you know what? You got an issue. Why don't you come talk to us? You don't need to post it on Twitter.
Oh, so you like... But see, he's being rewarded, isn't he?
Maybe. Might find it a little harder to get to the big leagues with Atlanta than here. I mean, I think that he was going to spend a lot of time at the major league level with the Royals this year. I don't know what the bullpen situation is like with the Braves.
They've traded him for cash considerations.
But considering how good the Braves have been the last couple years, it might be harder to get into that bullpen than the Royals. The Royals are going to rotate those guys all year. So we'll see. Maybe it'll work out for him.
Maybe rotating him this year.
Nope.
So you're sad. So we campaigned for him to be with the Major League Royals for years, and now you're happy to see him go.
I don't think he should have done that. You don't need to get on Twitter and gripe about your boss.
He was mad because he threw 8 innings, 5 hits, no walks, 10 strikeouts, and didn't give up a run in the spring, and felt probably like, hey, what else could I do to win a spot in the bullpen? And he was sent down. And then what was his tweet?
Well, first of all, the biggest phrase that I heard you say there was in the spring.
But, I mean, so, what else do you want him to do if there's like an open competition, right? That has to count for something?
I don't think it has to.
It doesn't?
The team can do whatever they want. And the thing is, like...
It's like, would it be better if he gave up, like, 10 runs? Like, I don't...
I'm not saying it would be better, but the organization has options on all these guys in the bullpen. They're going to use them.
I know, but can you see why a guy would be frustrated if he felt like he did everything necessary to win a spot but didn't get it?
I could see, yes, but you know what? There's a lot of times in life that you can be frustrated. You don't need to run to Twitter and air out all your frustrations about your employer. I think that's a bad idea.
His tweet was, "What I did never even matters."
Well, that's not necessarily true. If their plan was, hey, man, we're going to have you in the big leagues quickly, but we got to rotate this thing the way we see fit.
And then he said, thank you, God, for everything right after that. Well, you're a real hard ass with these young players on Twitter, aren't you? I never knew.
I didn't.
I never knew. Take a break now. Back after this.
Hey, I'm mad. I'm just going to go air it out in public.
Man,
you know?
He said was all right. He was upset. If you're like upset for a couple hours, you got to sit down. Like,
send that in a text message to your buddies. Don't you think? Like, sometimes, don't you think there's like a tweet you want to send out? And you're like, you know what? This would be better if I just texted it to my buddies.
The Royals have sent Richard Lovelady to the Braves for cash considerations. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's opening day, Thursday, March 30th, 2023. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati with producer Marco Marquez. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to all of our guests so far today. We had our ESPN baseball insider, Buster Olney. We had Rex Hudler getting you fired up for opening day. Gary Lise gave you the forecast. Former Chiefs Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman talk football with us. We had a whole bunch of interviews that Nate did out at Kauffman Stadium with the Royals yesterday, getting ready for opening day today. And this weekend, Saturday night, at the Kauffman Center, 7:30 p.m., Tommy James and the Shondells will be performing. And it should be an awesome show. And right now, to talk about that and coming to Kansas City, we have Tommy James on the show. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fantastic. And not only are you performing in Kansas City at the Kauffman Center on Saturday, but you're throwing out the first pitch of the game on Saturday at a Kauffman Stadium, right?
That's right. What an honor. I couldn't believe it. It's the first time I have ever done that in my career. And it's going to be great. I hope it's going to be great. If the ball ends up in the bleachers, we're going to have a problem.
You got to be kidding me. This is the first time you've had a chance to throw out the first pitch. So, I mean,
any game. I'm not kidding you. It's a great thrill. It really is.
So have you decided you're going to throw from the mound? Are you going to get in front of it? Do you have a good arm on you? Like, what can we expect from you on Saturday?
Well, I have no idea. See, this is going to be a first. So I'm going to do my best. I played a lot of baseball when I was a kid, but this is a whole different deal.
So are you a big baseball fan?
I am.
What?
I am. I'm up in New York, though. You know, I feel like I'm cheating on the Yankees, I got to tell you.
Hey, you know what? That's all right. You know what? You're in town. You can be.
I feel like I'm a two-timer, but I love the Royals, too. What can I say?
Oh, hey, look, I grew up, and that was the big rivalry, the Royals and the Yankees in the 70s and the 80s. And so,
I know.
Hey, and not to make you nervous, but, you know, George Brett will be there. And so, I don't know.
Is that right?
Yeah, get rid of that bad blood before Saturday.
Oh, my.
So
I remember that game, too. I watched that. I watched that live.
Oh, there were some great memories and great matchups between George Brett and the Yankees in the 70s and the 80s. You know, and I mentioned you're going to be playing at the Kauffman Center, and this is one of the crown jewels of Kansas City.
Oh, I know.
It's just unbelievable. I'm just curious, how excited are you to be coming to town and playing this venue?
I'm very excited. I haven't been to Kansas City in a long time. They do know how to rock and roll out there, I will say that. And I have very fond memories of playing Kansas City. It's great to be back.
You know, and you have so many great hits and great songs that people are looking forward to, like Crimson and Clover and Money Money. You heard us playing Dragging the Line and Hanky Panky. I Think We're Alone Now, Crystal Blue Persuasion. And you play all those hits. Tell us a little bit about what people can expect that'll be in the crowd on Saturday night.
Sure. Well, we're going to, you know, throw as much as we can at them. We're going to play as many of the hits as we can get into an hour and a half. And I'm going to go out in the audience. We're going to mingle. We'll be during the show. It usually happens during Money Money. I'll just get up and go out in the crowd and shake some hands and meet some people while the group is still playing on stage. It takes about, 5 or 10 minutes. And we just have a great time at our concerts. We're working all over the United States now. We're going to play, you know, we're going to play the hits and maybe throw in one or two new things.
So, you know, I was talking to Steven about this, and we found out you were going to come on the show. And I don't know how many times you hear this type of a story, but for me, I remember when the pop star Tiffany covered your song, I Think We're Alone Now. And I, you know, I was a kid at the time. I didn't realize that it was a cover until my dad walked into the room and was like, "What are you guys listening to? That's a Tommy James song." And he was like mad about it, you know? And so then like we got the CD and we listened to like your greatest hits and it kind of blew me away, like how many classics you have that have been covered by other people.
And that's true.
And I'm wondering, like, is that flattery? Is that like something that you're very proud of?
It's terribly flattering and honoring. I honestly love to hear how another artist interprets our music, because there's always great insights into it. We've been so lucky. We've had over 300 cover versions of our songs done from everybody from R.E.M. doing Dragging the Line, Prince doing Crimson and Clover, Dolly Parton doing Crimson and Clover. We did a duet on her album. And so it's been done so many different ways by so many different artists. And I'm thrilled to, you know, it keeps the music alive. I'll never forget the first time when, as you mentioned, Tiffany and Billy Idol had Money Money at the exact same moment. And they went up the charts together like they were holding hands. And all of a sudden, about 6 weeks later, they both went back-to-back number one. That had never happened before. It just really freaked me out. And I'm so thrilled with all the covers and all the movies that we've had.
It's like you mentioned, you know, Billy Idol, Joan Jett, Prince, Carlos Santana, Bruce Springsteen, Cher, Dolly Parton, Tom Jones. All these different great artists have covered your songs. And maybe there's not one good answer, but is there one that is maybe set apart from the others that's your favorite, or the favorite cover that you've ever heard from another artist?
Wow. I think Prince doing Crimson and Clover about the most unique I've ever heard. Prince, not too long before he died, did this very futuristic version of Crimson and Clover, and I love hearing it, and I love his interpretation of it. That's the most fun. Probably the other one might be R.E.M. doing Dragging the Line. They did it in the Austin Powers movie, The Spy Who Shagged Me. and they did a great version of Dragging the Line. So, I mean, it's been sort of all over the place, but I have to say those are two of my favorites.
You mentioned the movies. I know Crystal Blue Persuasion was featured in one of the episodes of Breaking Bad. But
right.
there have been so many. Is there something that stands out to you, like that made you most proud, a movie or a TV show? Like, yeah, that's my song, and I'm so proud to be associated with this particular movie or TV show.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well, I mean, geez, the movies, everything from Forrest Gump, when they did Hanky Panky, to, I was going to say The Spy Who Shagged Me. That was a big one. But also, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. You remember that
one?
They did Dragging the Line. Or they did Money Money. And so, it's been all over the place. And I have been, as I said, very, very flattered and very honored to have all this attention.
And we are so excited to have you coming to town in Kansas City. And, you know, all these great songs and all these great hits, you know, I'm sure you've been asked, do you ever get tired of playing those songs? But I would imagine, like you said, you haven't been in Kansas City in a number of years. And when you see the reaction of people, like I'll be there on Saturday, and, uh-huh. and like Nate, you know, my dad listened to a lot of your music, and that's where I picked up that influence. But you spread over the different generations of people that will show up and see sure. you. That's got to motivate you and excite you to see so many people still enjoying all the hits that you
it
made.
It does. I look out at our concert crowd now, and I see literally three generations of people. And it blows me away. It really does. We've been doing this. I thank the good Lord and the fans for the kind of longevity we've had. And so it's going to be good. And I'm lucky to still be doing this. You know, we tour all over the United States. I have my own radio show on Sirius XM every week. And I also, you know, the book that we wrote a few years ago is being turned into a movie. And so my autobiography is going to be turned into a film. I'm just blown away by that. So we really have so much going on right now, and I'm so thrilled that we're still doing this. I never in a million years thought when we first had a hit with Hanky Panky back in '66 that we'd still be doing this in 2023. That just blows me away.
And for more information about all the stuff you talk about, our listeners can go to TommyJames.com. And see, I did want to ask you about the movie, your autobiography, Me, the Mob, and the Music. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be turned into a movie. Tell people maybe what to expect from this and what this process is like. Because I know you're working with a producer whose credits include Goodfellas, The Casino, and Cape Fear. So this has got to be an incredible experience. Tell us about the movie.
Sure. Well, it's taken from our book, Me, the Mob, and the Music, which basically is an autobiography with about three quarters of it devoted to our very crazy, tumultuous, and sometimes scary relationship with Roulette Records, the label that we had most of our hits on. And the reason it was scary and tumultuous is because Roulette Records, in addition to being a great little label, you know, was a great little independent label, was also a front for the Genovese crime family in New York.
Wow.
And of course,
wow.
We didn't know that until we signed with them. And a lot of crazy stuff happened, and it's all documented as best we could in the book and now in the movie. So we're looking at about another 18 months to 2 years. You know, Hollywood was shut down for a couple of years because of COVID. And so now it's up and running again, and they're in the casting phase right now. And probably looking at about another 18 months to 2 years. And that's Hollywood time. So, we're real excited about the whole thing and very honored.
If you get your choice of actors, is there a certain actor that you would love to see playing Tommy James on the silver screen?
Oh, my God. It's so tough because so many of the young actors started out in rock bands. It's amazing how many of the young actors started out playing rock and roll and can play guitar and sing. Jamie Foxx, when he did Ray, really raised the bar because he there was no lip syncing or anything. He did his own vocals, and he even started to look like Ray Charles. So, there's so many actors out there that to pick from. I don't want to jinx anything by saying my favorite, but I definitely do have some favorites that I'd like to see played a part.
How much say do you have in that?
Well, actually a fair amount. The thing of it is, these casting directors, the ones that are working on our show, on our movie, are just so hip, and they know all the young players that are out there now. The other character that's going to be difficult to cast is Morris Levy, the head of Roulette Records, who was every bit a gangster, you know. he's going to be the other character that's difficult to cast, myself and Morris Levy. So it's going to be really interesting to see who they come up with. I frankly don't know. You know, I've seen the list of people that they're interested in, but I don't know. I guess I'm going to leave that to the adults.
23 gold singles, 9 platinum albums, over 100 million records sold worldwide, and 32 Billboard Hot 100 chart hits. Tommy James coming to town. Tommy James and the Shondells this Saturday at the Kauffman Center. And so,
can I tell you one other thing?
Oh, please.
To say, anyone who shows proof of their attendance at either of the first two Royals games gets into our show half price.
Oh, wow. All right.
So they extended that. That's a great, another great thrill from the Royals is just anyone who shows proof, and that would be their, you know, ticket stubs or online ticket at any of the first two games, half price into our concert show. And so hopefully that'll happen.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I know people are fired up. It's going to be a great day, opening day. And so show proof of going to the game. You can get a ticket. You can go to just show up at the box office and get your tickets, or go to kauffmancenter.org for more information. Okay, final question. I got twin 14-year-old daughters, and usually they help me prep for interviews. They like to get involved. So they ask a question they want me to ask you. And this may be a silly question, but actually I think it might be a pretty good question. What is a Shondell?
Well, it was just a word I made up in study hall. that's how long ago I made up that name. But a Shondell, I found out years later, was an airplane maneuver.
Oh.
And, hey, who knew?
Right.
I just liked the way it rolled off my tongue, and it sounded musical. So that's I picked the name Shondell. But it did. Turned out to be an airplane maneuver during World War II.
So this Kauffman Performing Arts Center that you're going to be performing at is one of the one of the greatest venues in the United States.
That's what I understand. It's the first time we've ever played there, and I understand it's really gorgeous.
Oh, you're going to absolutely love it. What's the best venue you've ever played in?
Oh my! Well, I probably would have to say the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Simply because of the history, and the other probably would be Madison Square Garden. We've done there several times. But the Hollywood Bowl is very special.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be special on Saturday night. Good luck with that first pitch at Kauffman Stadium. I want to see you throw a strike, and then I'm going to be there at the Kauffman Center on Saturday night. Can't wait to watch you perform live. We're big fans of all of your work, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys. Don't be a stranger.
All right. Hey, have a safe trip to Kansas City, okay, my friend?
Thank you so much. God bless.
That is Tommy James and the Shondells.
This is my dad's favorite song by them.
There was also something that we used to add to this song in high school that I'm not going to do that just out of respect to Tommy James. Get it!
Yeah.
No! Sorry. I'm not going to do it. He's fantastic. It makes me so happy that he picked... I said, what's your favorite cover of all your music? And he picked Prince, Crimson and Clover. Because you know how we love Prince. I'm surprised that didn't make you happy. You don't care about nothing anymore. I can't get a rise out of you for nothing.
You know, that it says something right there if Prince wants to cover your song. Because usually everybody covers Prince's songs.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it says something of all those names we mentioned, that his favorite was Prince.
Well, hey, you know? Prince is one of those guys that the best of the best look up to him.
That's right. Know? Even though he was 5'4", everyone looked up to him.
Yep.
I can promise you that.
That's right.
So that was Tommy James. Go see him on Saturday at the Kauffman Center. If you see me, wave at me, and I'll go, get no, I won't. Yes, I will. Marco gets it now. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Having a great time,
you want to be
loving the fun.
You want to see all of the excitement. This is the place, and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you
love. Welcome back to the show.
Come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be.
A lot of good stuff on this show you can listen to.
Baseball with the Royals.
on our podcast page at 810WHB.com. Buster Olney was excellent as always. Rex Hudler was spectacular in motivating everyone to get fired up on opening day. Gary Lezak was all over the place and talked about such a wide variety of topics. I'm not even sure what happened in that segment. Gary Geeter and Anthony Sherman were very good. Nate Bucati refused to acknowledge Anthony Sherman and his UConn Huskies as Blue Bloods. Anthony Sherman said he didn't care. And after they win 5 national championships, he'll create his own club. And Nate's not allowed in it, so there's a lot of finger-pointing there going on. And then we just had Tommy James on the show, Tommy James of the Shondells, who will be performing at Kauffman Center over the weekend. And for more information on Tommy, you can go to TommyJames.com or go to KauffmanCenter.org for all the information on the show on Saturday. And Tommy's throwing out the first pitch. That's unbelievable. A musician as accomplished as Tommy James that has so many hits like Crimson and Clover and Money Money and Dragon the Line and Hanky Panky, which is Nate's favorite song. He loves that Hanky Panky. You know that. What songs am I missing? Crystal Blue Persuasion. That was a song that was featured in Breaking Bad. I Think We're Alone Now.
Which brings
up confusing feelings about Tiffany for even Nate Bucati at this stage in his life. And so he's never been asked to throw out the first pitch at any game ever. So he said he used to play ball when he was a kid, and he's enthusiastic about that. But that could be, you know, that's a lot. So I asked, told him to throw a strike, and then I'll see him at Kauffman Center. So let me think of that. Partner.
I think you're set up for a pretty good weekend, pal.
Yeah, you are.
We only have one day left of shows before the weekend. Hopefully we'll be talking about the 1-0 Royals.
Hey.
It's opening day.
Grinky. Remember, kids, life is a ball game. You got to play it fair.
Got to.
Absolutely. Play it fair. Well, thank you to all of our guests. Have a great time. Be safe out there. Be good to each other. Love each other. Love each other up. Okay? Make love, not war. It's opening day.
To steal a plate.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone have a wonderful opening day listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.